Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yes. No. Enemies close. Roderick. Is
there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
Stop opinion. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me. But in my mind, I'm better than him. I do it again.
I'ma do me, why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'm a cop of farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm backed up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, car, take it tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault, I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
I don't know if it's live, is it working, is it gone? Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Rodri Giggs on Football. This is Ace Podcast Nation. We're here to talk all things football for the next 40 minutes or so before we jump on a Wales watch along. Rodri will be here in about 10 minutes. The reason I'm a few minutes late is we tried to do it. He's stuck in traffic, he is. So we tried to do it from his car, but the his delay and connection and all that sort of crap was too bad. So he's going to join in now, 10 minutes. But we are predominantly going to be talking the FA Cup this weekend, this past weekend, because for me, just me, maybe, but we'll see what other people think, is like for me growing up, the FA Cup was like massive. It was the tournament, like apart from the league, the FA Cup was it. Like it was so exciting. There was upsets every year. It was always like a lower league team which makes a run for it, gets deep into the competition, and it was a story within itself. And those stories was a big part of what got me hooked on football as a kid, apart from obviously playing it and like that, and a VHS of the Brazilian team in the 70s was really what got me hooked. And to see the FA Cup games this weekend, all of them were just really, really exciting games for the neutral. Just great games to watch. Obviously, culminated with the Man United-Liverpool game, which we will get to. I'm going to try and save that predominantly for when Rodri gets here. Obviously, as a United fan, he's got that. He's going to want to talk about that, so I don't want to talk about it twice. So we'll kind of talk about that. We'll talk about a little bit about Wales, but obviously, because we're doing the watch-along, and I did a preview for that last night as well, we'll kind of skipping and out with that. I do think, by the way, apart from the competitive games, this March international break has got to be shifted. I saw Gary Neville was talking about it as well. Like, it's got to be shifted. Like, you've got Arsenal, Man City, and Liverpool all going for a title. Like, they don't want to be sending their players all around the world and international, even like just the Wembley and stuff, to do international breaks for friendlies. I just think it's a waste of time. And I think, like, there's already been some withdrawals. I saw Saka's withdrawn, Haaland, people like De Bruyne both withdrew from Belgium squad. Like, I think, don't get me wrong, like, the playoffs and that has got to be done. However, friendlies, like, is there a need for it? could these players be having a bit of a break at their clubs to make the running even more exciting, particularly when it's close like it is this year? Just think that, like, you know, what if, I don't know, let's say Kobbie Mainoo for United, he's like one of the first names on the team sheet in banging form. What if he gets an injury now, which like finishes his season just for a friendly? Like, I get it, it's his debut, he's going to be his debut if he gets on and all the rest of it. But like, it's a needless break. They've got to find a different place for this international break, in my opinion. I don't see the need. I think it's very disruptive and problematic. But obviously, with the playoffs, they've got to be played, haven't they? And it kind of is what it is. But let's talk about the FA Cup, because there were some great games over the weekend. The quarterfinals, very, very exciting stuff. So we started off on Saturday with Wolves versus Coventry. Coventry City, Championship side, found themselves 2-1 down in the 88th minute. And at that point, I think Ellis Sims had scored one, but he'd also missed a big, big chance. And he goes and scores in the 97th minute. And then Wright scores in the 100th minute. And it was just a great game. And what I really liked about the games over the weekend is there's no replays. So it's like all or nothing there and then. You saw in the United game with the, like, they ended up with a one-legged Bruno in centre-back just pinging balls, and Maguire's going up front, back and forth, like a box-to-box defender, and you've got Antony at left-back. Like, these teams, like, I applaud the bravery, which all of these teams, they just went for it, you know? And that's what it's about, is that knockout competition. Mark Robbins, by the way, doing such a good job at Coventry, and I think that really goes to show that if you stick through with a manager through the bad times, through the difficult spells, and you give the team a bit of consistency, like, it pays dividends. Coventry did really well in the Championship last year. They, you know, only marginally missed that out on like playoffs and stuff like that. And I just think I wish more clubs did it. I wish more clubs would stick with their managers through difficult periods. And I compare that to, I've been saying it the same about my club, about Cardiff this whole season. Stick with Ballou. I think he's shown enough in the first half of the season to say that he's the right man to build for the next few years, and then see where you are at the end of like a 3-year period, instead of just ditching these managers the first time things get a bit rough. Like, he's been there since 2017. So it's been 7 years, pretty much. So I'd be very interested, actually, to know if he's one of the longer-serving managers at the moment. My keyboard. Someone send me I need a tech company to send me, or a sponsor, send me some new keyboards, man. My keyboard is just jacked up. I've got another one somewhere. I'm going to have to find one. Let's have a look who the longest serving manager in the English system. But I just think, like, ultimately what it comes down to is Mark Robbins has been able to build his own team. So, like, every player within that squad now is going to be his player, whether that's academy players brought through, whether that's players they've signed on loan, players they've signed for contracts, freeze, whatever it may be, that's his squad. He will have got rid of the players which he didn't want. He will have got rid of the players he deemed not good enough, or their attitude wasn't right for his team or the way he wants to build. And I just think that's the way to go. And I'd like to see that switch in football clubs. And it's going to be interesting because Ineos of United are going to have that choice. We've talked about it a lot. Like, Gareth Southgate, it's international break, isn't it? So you've got to have all these wild stories. It seems like Gareth Southgate was like signed a pre-contract the way it's been reported. I don't think there's anything like that. But I have heard from a few people who would know that he's on the list and stuff. So, you know, it's pretty clear there's something to it. But they've probably got other people on that list as well. Personally, I think it'd be a massive mistake to get rid of Ten Hag. And I think... it's a weird one, isn't it? Like, what do? Do you stick? I think, look, there's always a scenario where you can be in such a bad spell that maybe things change or something happens or a performance. And look, I think if United, for instance, lose to Coventry, that probably seals Ten Hag's fate. I think his best chance of keeping his job into next season with a new, not ownership, but people in charge of the football side of it, there's always a danger that new owners or new people want to bring in their own man. So I think his best chance of surviving is, or seeing out his contract is to win the FA Cup, is to get Champions League football next year. But going back to Coventry, I've been really impressed with Coventry since they got promoted to the Championship, where I've watched them a bit more. And Mark Robbins, I think, has done a tremendous job. And I hope they can put in a good performance in that semi-final. And I hope it's not like, do you remember the Millwall, when Millwall got to the League Cup final? And I think they played United when Ronaldo was playing, and it was in Cardiff, I think, as well. And then, it was very one. It wasn't a contest. It was very one-sided. I think it ended up 3-0 or something. But look, there's always a danger of that when you have a Championship side. But they've already shown, look, at the end of the day, if you want to sort of compare, like, just a little bit, Wolves have beaten United or put in good performances against United a lot in recent years, and Coventry have just beaten Wolves in their own gaff. So there's always hope. There's the pressure. There's no pressure on Coventry, and there's all the pressure on Manchester United in that semi-final. In terms of the longest-serving managers, you've got Simon Weaver at Harrogate Town, Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola, and then Mark Robbins. So goes to show you, like, if you look, I couldn't tell you about Harrogate Town. They're in League Two, I think. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It looks like they're in League Two. I couldn't tell you how they're doing. I will have a quick look now. But in terms of, I wouldn't be surprised if they've had relative success in the time he's been there, certainly as he's built his own side, because I think that consistency, there's a lot to be said for it. And I just thought the Coventry performance against Wolves was excellent. The goal that, who was it? I think it might have been one of Ellis Sims' goals. Was such a good goal, like good team goal. And Ellis Sims has scored 10 goals in his last 8 appearances across all competitions. And I really, after scoring 4 in 35, which again shows with anyone, like manager, players, whatever, sometimes if you stick with players, they will repay you and be able to find that rhythm, especially with strikers. Like when strikers start scoring and they get that confidence and they start finishing off instinct rather than overthinking things, like there's definitely something to be said of sticking with people through rough times. I don't know, maybe I'm looking at it wrong and football's a business and all that sort of thing, but like to me personally, loyalty is such a big thing to me that It definitely affects my judgments, because when it comes down to it, I value loyalty over most things. So I just believe that in terms of managing a football team, longevity is a real valuable aspect to the overall thing. I'm not saying stick with someone if you've lost like 15 on the bounce and you're losing 5-0 every week, unless there's a reason why you're sticking with them, sort of thing. Or there's a reason why you're losing all those games. But to me personally, I just think that the reason Coventry are successful at the moment is because they've stuck with Mark Robbins. And he's a very good manager. And they've got some good young players in there too. The next game was Manchester City and Newcastle. From what I saw, and I admittedly, I didn't watch all of this game, so I'm sure people can correct me if I'm wrong. But I felt like Man City didn't really get out of second gear here. I know that Newcastle have had some injuries and stuff like that, and maybe that played a big part in kind of why. But I was hoping Newcastle might be able to put up a bit of a bigger fight and get stuck in. But look, Manchester City, there's a reason why they win everything. And I know everyone will say, oh yeah, the reason is the amount of money they've got and they've spent and 115 charges. But like that, away from that, like on the football pitch, their squad is absolutely unreal. And I saw a clip of, who was it? it wasn't TalkSport. I think it might have been ESPN. I'm not 100% sure. But they were like comparing the injuries that like Manchester United have got to the injuries that Man City have got. And it's like, or had. And it was like, well, every time Rodri didn't play for Man City, I think they lost earlier in the season. And if Haaland's out, they play Alvarez. And they, you know, Foden's out and they bring in Doku. And they got all these like Grealish. And like no other team has got that depth to bring in two world-class players for every position. And that's just a fact. Now, if you, like so many people, believe that the reason they're able to have done that is because they've got those 115 charges, that, well, that's another story. But when it comes to the actual football, it's very, very difficult to compete with a team who've got that much quality and that much depth. It's just the way it is, unfortunately. But there we go. If you have got any questions, like I say, Rodri will be in very shortly. And we'll discuss the United game and stuff like that. But kind of moving on to the next game. Look, Manchester City, by the way, you'd expect them to win the FA Cup from here. You know, they're playing Chelsea. Although Chelsea, I believe Chelsea got a pretty good record against Man City in recent years. Even though Chelsea are like all over the shop and you never know quite which version of them is going to turn up. Like, overall, they have got the quality to trouble any side. They've got some phenomenal players in that Chelsea side, which, you know, we'll touch on more in a minute. But, yeah, disappointing for Newcastle because I think looks like they're probably not going to get top four or five. This was their chance to win a trophy after they got to the final of the League Cup last year and just never really seemed to have challenged Manchester City in any meaningful way. And then you had Chelsea-Leicester, which finished Chelsea 4, Leicester 2. But I think the score doesn't necessarily tell the full story. And one thing which I did notice massively in this game is Raheem Sterling getting booed by his own fans. But look, I'm all for like sticking, you know, like I said about loyalty, sticking by your players and getting behind players. But like he was so bad that I could almost sympathize or understand why the Chelsea fans were booing him. Like, he was awful. He did set up Cole Palmer's goal, good assist, but like he took a penalty and it was awful, missed it. Then he takes a free kick after he's missed a one-on-one, which he misses, and he's giving the ball away and very, very poor. And then he kind of takes a free kick where there was others who could have taken it, and it, like, he just blasts it miles over, and you're just thinking, wow, what's he thinking? You know, and fair play to him for, you know, taking the responsibility, the experienced player, believing in himself and all that. But like, sometimes you've got to say, like, I'm having a bad day today. Let's give it to someone else. What's best for the team? And then Pochettino took off. I think he took off. I mean, I can't remember who he took off, but he took off someone ahead of Sterling. I think he took off Mudrick. Yeah, but he took off Mudrick at 78 minutes. And that was when the crowd really sort of booed and turned. And Mudrick, like, for all the grief he's been given and the ridicule, like, he was actually very good in this game. And, Raheem Sterling was absolutely really, really poor. And then the manager took some boos, but Leicester were impressive. A bit unlucky, but fair play to Leicester. They went toe-to-toe with Chelsea, and that was the theme of the weekend. The other game in the FA Cup, toe-to-toe, very exciting games. And he's here. How are you, my friends?
Something.
Good man. We're just going through the FA Cup games, mate, which you've timed that nicely, because we're the next game to discuss will be the United game. Just finishing off on Chelsea and Leicester, though, mate. I don't know if you watched it in full, but like Raheem Sterling had an absolute shocker. Like, and I mean, when
penalty was poor, wasn't it? And one on one, if his quality, he should be scoring, shouldn't he?
He skies that free kick, then, doesn't he? After all those giving away the ball and your missed chances, and then on the 78th minute, like Mudrick, I was just saying then, for all the ridicule and
the grief he's been given. He was having a really good game, looked really good. And the manager took him off instead of Sterling, and the crowd turns and they're booing. Like, that to me is a worrying sign for the manager. For a manager who's so, you know, everyone thinks he's the next, you know, the next great manager.
But I understand that. But what score was it?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to just say then. Like, but what you got to understand is after he made that substitution, or actually after he took Sterling off, but, you know, regardless, his substitutions were the ones who saw the game through, get the goals. But what I was thinking it indicates, mate, is that the crowd or the Chelsea fans are not 100% happy with what Pochettino's doing, because they were prop. They were. It wasn't like an isolated couple. It was a.
Who are they going to bring in? Get rid of him. Who are they going to get?
Bring Potter back. Gareth Southgate.
Southgate, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to get.
So, suddenly, Southgate's the best manager in the world. According to Danny Murphy, he can go to United, but he's not good enough to go to Liverpool. But
yeah, mate, yeah. It's embarrassing, mate. I just, it's like the boys' club, and like they're all, oh, Southgate, the sunshine's out. Yeah, he's such a good manager.
The same old media outlets pumping the same old crap.
Yeah,
Ten Hag just beat Liverpool 4-3.
Yeah.
Liverpool 4-3. And they've already replaced him.
Yeah.
Just media, mate, just fueling it.
Well, it's international break, isn't it? International break, so they got to have stories. But do you know what's on that? We'll move on to the United game. I found it really interesting that the kind of after the last couple of days after it, because you have a lot of media, not like the Liverpool, like, you know, like the Carragers and the Murphys, who were, you know, blatant in their Liverpool sort of bias. But then the ones who are, I do rate Danny Murphy, though, in fairness, but he has got that.
Yeah, I do as well.
Lead. Of course, yeah. It's natural, mate, isn't it? But, like, some of the ones like Agbong Lahore and Jamie O'Hara, and, you know, they hate United, don't they? And, like, no credit to the manager for gambling and for you know, like, you've got Harry Maguire is basically playing like a box-to-box centre-back. Like, he's in defence, and then as soon as they get a ball, he's up front, and then he's bombing back. And Bruno's like sat in centre back, just picking passes away. Anthony's at left back. Like, it takes balls, mate, to do that against Liverpool. Because if Liverpool end up winning 6-2 or 6-3, or 6-2, say, and they don't get the late goals, right, and they get picked off on the break, he gets criticised probably pretty heavily because they lost 7-0 last year. So he could have easily conceded 3-4 goals. Because he had Bruno, who was injured, Anthony at left back. He had two defenders on the pitch. Takes balls, mate, I think. And it's a one.
That's what it's what you've got to do as manager. Take risks. You get rewards. Ultimately, mate. especially at Old Trafford, you've got Anthony that come on a bit of energy, did very well, got a goal. Ahmad come on, lots of energy. Got a goal, did well, even though he got sent off. But, you know, the game was all over by then. So, yeah, his changes. Maguire coming on, like you say, box to box, getting headers and causing chaos in the other box. So, you know, yeah, it was very good decision. So, I'm still worried about that midfield, though. You know, he's way too open.
This is what I was going to say to you, but I did a little analysis of it the other week, and Ten Hag has been saying probably for the last 5 or 6 weeks particularly that when we get players back, we're going to be better. But then as soon as you had a fullback, like you had two fullbacks with Wan-Bissaka back, defensively, like as a defensive unit, you looked a lot better. As soon as you've got Højlund, even though Højlund I don't think was fit, the ability to have Garnacho and Rashford on the wings.
Oh yeah, they definitely make a difference.
Better shape.
But I'm saying when they win the ball transition into going into attack, the gap. That's because the centre halves are not on the halfway line pressing in. They're on the retreat, so then bigger gap. But ultimately, he'll have that. You know, as soon as it breaks out, boom! You're in. And not all doing it at the minute. But it's difficult as well when you've got players like Johnny Evans, Maguire, who's not the quickest, Varane, he's not the quickest either, Luke Shaw's out, Martinez is out. So, yeah, I just think that them front three, they're a different team when Højlund plays.
Yeah, just from a balance point of view and a shape point of view, they just look better.
He gets also, fucking old of it. He gets old of the ball, makes some runs.
But he's also
old to do. Should
he
do.
He also presses really well. Him and Bruno press in with the wingers. And this is the problem. Is I thought United in the first half an hour excellent because they pressed really well and they caused Liverpool all sorts of problems. But the problem they've got is they press really well, but the defence, because Martinez and Shaw are out, all of their defenders, like you mentioned, haven't got pace. So they're in a low block. So you've got a press in front half and a low block at the back half, which leaves a massive gap. And obviously, that is a problem. But I think, again, Ten Hag has been saying, judge me when I get my players back, when I've got Mount, who have barely played, when I've got Martinez, who's going to push that back forward beyond the halfway line. And then suddenly there's no gap. But you can't do it with, like you say, with Johnny Evans, with Maguire, with Varane. And I think sometimes people are very reactionary about a game. And I thought, like I saw, you know, Liverpool fans, media, people saying, oh, United were lucky, Liverpool let them off the hook. Look, second half, Liverpool dominated, which you'd expect. But also, there was one opportunity where they had like a 5-on-2 where they should have done better. But apart from that, I didn't really think they opened United up like time and time again.
Not like United opened them up. No matter Trasker's last kick of the game.
So to me, all right, Liverpool went in 2-1 at halftime, largely due to, you know, X, Y, and Z. But I thought largely you'd give the first half to United, really. I thought they were the better side for the majority of the
35 minutes, they were very good. But then the last 10 minutes, you could see Liverpool, you know,
just found their groove a bit, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I think then once they can see the first goal, there's a bit of panic there. And, it all kind of coincides. But overall, I thought United were the better team in the first half. Second half went to Liverpool. And then extra time was just toe-to-toe. United were clinical. Liverpool weren't. But I still stand by. Liverpool didn't really open up United. And I think for that reason, I don't think that you can say United were lucky. I just thought United were better when it mattered in those attacking areas. Their decision-making, their finishing. And that goes with Rashford missing that chance on 90 whatever minute, wasn't it? Like the last kick of the game. It's one of them. That was one of them where you thought it was in because his first touch is so bad.
You've got to make the keeper work.
You'd understand if his first touch was bad and then he missed.
Perfect.
First touch is perfect. The ball from Eriksen, perfect. And you're expecting it to just roll in the corner and it was so weird. Tell you who had a good game, mate, apart from the obvious, was Onana. And I think he's been probably the last
stronger and stronger now. It's always difficult in your first year as a keeper,
especially when you make mistakes in the Champions League.
Then the pressure's on, but the back four constantly changing. He's done well, mate. Yeah, it looks very solid. Chip saves you expect him to make, but very solid saves.
Yeah, and I think also what he did well, which De Gea didn't do, which was one of these criticisms you have at De Gea, was that a couple of times Liverpool will put a cross in and he comes and gets it and it just takes the pressure off. United have missed that of having a keeper who comes out. And I think what you also saw was when they needed to go long or direct, his passing ability, long passing, is sensational. Like a couple of times he found Bruno or Garnacho, you know, long length of the pitch ball. I think United have to get out of this habit of thinking they have to play from the back every time. Because in the first half, in that last 10 minutes where Liverpool are kind of pouring forward and you're thinking, right, it's like literally 3-4 minutes to half time, goal kick to United, right, just get it up to Højlund and play off him. I know that's not the United way or whatever cliche you want to use, but get to half time 1-0 up and then go again. Not try and play from the back. And I saw a few people blaming Wan-Bissaka, but he had nowhere to go. So he tried to sort of keep hold of the ball until he had somewhere to go. Got pressed. Liverpool, one of the best pressing teams in the league. Bruno's probably got to be a bit stronger, but, you know, and people loved, I don't want to use it as a stick to beat Bruno, because I think, look, he should have done better. He should have stayed on his feet and just held on to the ball. But overall, I thought Bruno all right, is it, maybe his creativity and his effect on the game in that way wasn't perfect, but as a captain and a leader, I thought he was sensational. There was a point 10 minutes before halftime in the first half where they kept getting in behind Mainoo because of what we just said about the defence and attack. And Bruno just went and sat in CDM for 5 minutes. No one told him to. He just sat there and it just closed the space a little bit.
Yeah, they still scored two goals.
Yeah, no, and I get that. But they shouldn't have. He shouldn't be in that position, really.
No, yeah, I know. I understand what you mean. I don't know what you're
saying. But like, there was taking responsibility, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was everywhere. And like, when he, in extra time, he was limping around. He'd obviously like had either an injury or cramp or whatever. And he's playing centre back and he made a couple of good tackles in centre back.
He's a very good player. Just sometimes petulant for a captain, just frustrates me the way that the play acting, that the wave in the hands. But other than that, he's a very good captain.
I think he probably should have got sent off. Once he was already booked and he makes that block.
Yeah, that was a great tackle, that.
Look, don't get me wrong. Like,
it wasn't stood first. It was opened up as well, so it's a side of the block.
10 years ago, it's a great block. I mean, I think it's a great block, but I think... I was sorry. I wouldn't say that.
Still bitter from Swansea on Saturday. Come on, let it go. Come on.
Cardiff didn't play on Saturday, mate. Don't know what you're on about. Not talking about that shower shit. What I mean is, I guess, not that I think he should have been sent off, that I was surprised that he wasn't given a second yellow. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, in this day and age with...
And
it looks worse, slowed down.
Maybe Anfield. It's possibly.
Yeah.
Old Trafford, maybe got that little bit of the benefit of the doubt because he was at Old Trafford.
So last couple of minutes, Med, before we switch over to the watch along for the Wales game. But I wanted to kind of ask you on the United front.
Have we done Super Six yet?
No, we'll do them now.
Yeah.
Sure, I've done the update and all that. Don't need to talk about that.
Yeah. What? But you lost again. You got what? 4 points now. You got what? 12. So that makes us what? 50 odd points. Come on. Why don't we just should I just declare now and just.
I'm just overthinking it, mate, don't I? That's the problem, is I'm overthinking it. The Wales team has been announced. Danny Ward, Chris Meepham, Joe Roden, Ben Davis, Connor Roberts, Ethan Ampadu, Daniel James, Nico Williams, David Brooks, and Harry Wilson, and Brennan Johnson. No Kiefer Moore in the starting lineup, and Wayne Hennessy not starting is an interesting one. So that side is basically what I predicted yesterday, other than the keeper and David Brooks. I thought they'd start with Kiefer Moore. However, I'm a bit encouraged by that, mate, because that's a very pacey team, and I think that's where Wales can do a bit of damage, is with their pace.
Yeah, sometimes you become one-dimensional when you've got a big fellow up front. You have that little bit of movement. Plus, you might have looked to the opposition and thought, these are the we can get at these. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought... I said in the preview, like, I think Finland, they're very good technically, but they're also quite, like, not lethargic, but they're quite, like, they just build from the back and it's very sort of one-dimensional. And I think if you've got a bit of pace and you can press them and stuff, you can get at them. And if Wales can get them early and get an early goal or two, you can settle in then, can't you? And you can just play your stuff, hit them on the break with the pace. Be nice if it was stress-free, mate, is basically what I'm saying. But
yeah,
it never is it? Let's be honest. All right, that's what I was going to ask you. Is Jurgen Klopp a bad loser?
I don't think I've ever met a good loser, have you?
I don't know. Some people take it with a bit of grace, don't they? And they shake your hand and they say, well done, but then they're still pissed off. My only problem with it, like, I don't care if he throws his toys out of the pram.
Because all the great ones like that, though. When United got beat, it was always someone else's fault. I'm sure in the change room, he'd be saying it was the player's fault, but it's always been like that.
Pep Guardiola doesn't do much. No, but I just thought, I thought the way he treated that Danish journalist, or the Scandinavian journalist, I thought it was really poor, like, there's no need to insult
him. German as well.
call him overweight. Like, it's like, what are you doing? Like, this.
He's German. They're rude, aren't they?
But it's like, the guy didn't even ask anything. Like, it wasn't like a really bad question. He just said, why did you lose intensity in extra time? It's like,
these managers are touching. Especially the great ones. They don't like being questioned or. Who's this little flipping? Oh, I'm here, question me. So yeah, then it's and rightly so sometimes.
Yeah, I just thought he was poor, mate. But you are right. Like, no one likes.
Why you just be a human being if he doesn't like it? He's just being honest. No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's some reporter saying why he loses his rag. That's him being honest. You want to give him a robot answer?
Do you know what, mate? One thing I will say is I always bemoan players and managers who just rock up with the cliches and
exactly. Jürgen Klopp has never been that. So you've got to admire him for that. He's honest and just says, "Oh, if something pisses him off, he's gonna let you know."
Yeah, no, I suppose I'll give it to him. I just thought didn't think he needed to.
Again, he's still bitter about Swansea taking out on everyone. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. Not fair. Just let it go, pal.
I've just been shouting at my kids, my wife, everyone all week. Just been
lifetime of not seeing a home and away win. Oh my god, that must sting. That
not at all. Thanks for bringing it up.
I couldn't believe that stat. You know,
oh mate,
they've never done that. How does that work?
Because they're shit. No, they
not forever. I mean, back in the day as well when. No,
well, in fairness, mate, the reason why it goes back so long is for so long they were above us, and then after they fell apart after the Toshak era, we were just like above them for so long that we never played each other unless it was in like the Welsh Cup or something. So that's why it's so long. But it is down to the fact that every time Cardiff go to Swansea to play,
they're up for it.
Swansea, within 30 seconds you could see it. But like Cardiff players, they must turn up to Swansea and think, fuck, you know, what a shit hole. Well, they can't play football, yeah. And then they do nothing. They just shit all every time we go there. Absolute dog shit. The last time I remember us having a good game going there is when Bellamy scored the last minute that curler from the edge of the box last minute. That's the last time.
I thought you wasn't gonna talk about it.
Well, you made me, didn't you?
I was just throwing like light lines out there. just letting you go.
It's brutal. That's what I was gonna ask you just before we do our predictions and we switch over to the other stream. What do you think United are gonna win the FA Cup?
Oh, it's difficult.
I've got a feeling Chelsea might beat Man City. Would you fancy United more?
Even so, that'll be difficult because, you know, Chelsea got a lot of pace, like, difficult on the day. So, yeah, plus we've got to beat Coventry. We were talking like Coventry's going to be a walkover. It's not. We still should get through, but it won't be a walkover. But, it's a 50-50 run, this one, isn't it, mate? It's not like back in the day where we're going, yeah, we'll win this. It's 50-50. More, probably 60-40 if City get through.
So, Chelsea have got a really good record recently against Man City, even whilst Chelsea have been all over the place. They do seem to have had a bit of City's number to it, as much as you can do with a team.
Sometimes it works out like that, mate. You have a ball.
But then also, United have had really good results against Chelsea in recent years. So if I was, if I'm a United fan, I'd be thinking I'd rather play flipping Chelsea. Because like last year was over, wasn't it? Within 10 minutes, like after that early goal, 30 seconds or whatever it was. It was kind of all over. But, right, let's do these predictions and then we're switching over to the Cardiff.
Well, I've been at a mental health first aid course for the last 2 days. And I've only just got in. I'm going to make a brew and then I'll join on.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Let's go on then.
Do your predictions, mate, and then we'll shoot off. But everyone, go over to Cardiff City World YouTube channel and Ace Podcast Nation's Twitter. And we'll be doing a watch along with the Wales and Finland game. Right. Spurs
3-1.
I got 2-0 to Spurs. Chelsea Burnley.
2-0 Chelsea.
3-1 Chelsea. Aston Villa Wolves.
2-2.
I'm going.
Villa are going to fall off a cliff. You watch. 2-2.
Oof. I'm going to go with 2-1 Villa. United away at Brentford.
3-2 United.
I'm going 3-0 United because Martinez is back. Well, supposedly. So I'm going 3-0 United. I think United are going to go on a bit of a run.
Liverpool, 2-1.
I'm going to go with 3-1 Liverpool, but I got a feeling Brighton might get a draw out of that. Man City, Arsenal, mate. That's a big one. Can Arsenal get something from it? Been in phenomenal form.
2-2.
Yeah, I can't see it being 0-0. Arsenal scored a lot of goals recently. I'm going to go with 2-1 Arsenal, mate.
Okay.
Just shake it up a bit.
You need the points, don't you, really?
Yeah, I've been overthinking it. I've been overthinking it so much, I'm just going to go with my gut.
Yeah.
Right. As always, appreciate your time, mate. Everyone, jump over to Cardiff City World.
I'll see you in
five. Podcast Nation, Twitter.
Where are you watching it then? Are you watching it?
On S4C, mate, because we can't have the sound on anyway, so.
S4C? Right, okay, right.
You can watch S4C on the BBC iPlayer.
Right.
Tidy butt. Nice one, guys. In a bit.
Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.